97.5 The Roar, Thursday, September 25th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us on a Thursday with much to discuss. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or the Adams Co. Roofing text line. We would love to hear from you throughout the course of the program. Should be a fun one here today with much to discuss. Obviously, I think this is probably the best college football slate of the season. If we're just taking one individual weekend, at least to this point, it's inarguable. We've got big-time matchups on the horizon. Our pick'em picks are due at 1 p.m. today, so we still hold the right to tinker if we would like to tinker. I submit 30 seconds after the email is sent every week. I've only tinkered one pick so far, and I'm 1-0. I might have a couple tinker picks coming later this week. So tinkering last year was horrible for me. I think I was 1-5 the 6 times I did it. It's been a different story so far this year. So we'll walk you through our analysis and insight on these games. And we also have a really good Thursday night football game for once. Cardinals and Seahawks has a lot of intrigue, in my opinion. I think Mike McDonald's one of the best coaches in football, and Sam Darnold's playing like the best QB in the league right now. Not an exaggeration. The data would check out on it. Obviously, it's been 3 weeks, and we need more of a sample size, and he's going to have a big test on the horizon tonight against a Cardinals defense that really bolstered their unit through free agency. Jonathan Gannon, former Eagles DC, is coaching his tail off on the defensive side of the ball right now for the Cardinals. It's really just about getting Marvin Harrison Jr. a little bit more confidence and getting Kyler Murray into a little bit better of a flow earlier in games for those Cardinals. So we'll give you guys some NFL breakdowns as well. If you have questions, thoughts, comments, and more on anything college football, anything NFL, or maybe even some Major League Baseball with the playoffs right around the corner, we would love to hear from you at 654-ROAR. John, not a ton on the television last night, but how was your Wednesday?
Oh, Wednesday was good. Looking forward to Thursday. Looking forward to football.
Looking forward to football.
And I'm going to take a little bit of issue with your leading up to the show for today.
Uh-oh.
You said we only have one good football game on tonight. How dare you?
Uh-oh.
How dare you?
What did I forget in the world of college football? Who we got?
Army at East Carolina tonight at 7:30 p.m.
That's on me.
In Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium.
Yeah, that's on me. I didn't realize those two were playing.
Not only are those two playing... I believe, if I'm correct, let me pull ECU right now is a 5.5-point favorite.
I like it.
Opened at 3.5. It is now at 5.5. But let me give you some interesting numbers as to why I kind of like my Pirates' chances tonight. Because normally, they don't bode well against the option. However, East Carolina right now is boasting the nation's 20th best rushing defense, allowing 2.83 yards per carry and only 87 yards a game. Army right now is through three games only allowing 4.43, they're getting 4.43 yards a game or carry, and they've only scored 8 touchdowns on the year. They have a quarterback problem at Army. They cannot figure it out, and that is a massive issue when you're trying to run the triple. So I think with the passing offense that East Carolina has, with some of the limitations right now that Army is having right now running their offense, I feel very good about tonight.
I'm going to take a half second for some blatantly biased propaganda. They need to start Ethan Washington at quarterback in West Point because he's my friend and we went to high school together. So start my guy E-Wash. Lord knows he's got too much free time on his hands right now playing the video game because he's running our connected franchise. I'd love to see E-Wash get a crack at it. I think he's QB3 right now on the depth chart. But in all seriousness, it's been two close losses for Army. Obviously, the first one super disappointing to Tarleton State. And then against North Texas, 45-38. It was a crazy comeback effort. They end up losing it in overtime. I'll tell you something we haven't given coverage to, and it's a hot name that started last season. Have you seen the story about North Texas's quarterback and Drew Mestemaker? I mean, number one, the kid's got undeniable feel and IQ for the position that you can see pre and post snap, identifying coverages, layering the ball. He's really freaking good, which makes me believe, why was this kid never starting in high school and his last starting job came on the freshman B team for his high school? Like, this is the most unfathomable story in sports to me. This kid starts 0 games of high school, 0, at the varsity level, gets to North Texas, walks on the team, a ton of injuries paved the way for him to end up starting the bowl game. He lights it up. And then when you go back and you start to hear some of the accounts from the mean green players, John, apparently he should have been the starter last year. And there was a wide receiver on North Texas that said it was evident a week into him showing up to all the players and coaches that he was the best quarterback on the roster last year, which wraps me back to an overarching belief that I have in the world of football. A lot of quarterback play and position of selecting who's playing quarterback is politics. And Mestemakers clearly got the goods for North Texas. I love watching this kid play, man. I know that's super off topic 12 minutes into the program here, but you got to have some love for that story. And that's like every kid's dream, right? You walk on, you start taking over the world, and he still hasn't lost a game. He's 5-0 as a starter, and they're putting up big-time numbers. So big shout-out to Drew Mestemaker and the North Texas Mean Green. That's a really, really good story that I hope continues to go.
Oh, no, absolutely. He's been a ton of fun to watch. It's been a great story, and you can watch them at noon on ESPNU on Saturday as they host South Alabama as a 12.5-point favorite.
Man, love to see that. Texter gets in and says, didn't some people at the Roar pick Army to the playoff? I did not. I would say that some probably did, but in all fairness to all my cohorts, the 12-team playoff prediction is like legitimately impossible. Like, you got to think about the amount of variables, the amount of individual games, and then especially when you get to the group of five level, you're picking one team out of, what, 75 teams that you think has the best chance to make the playoffs. So you're never going to see me, like, victory lapping and or cracking on people for college football playoff predictions specifically, because it's a crapshoot, man. Like, in the 14-team era, it's different. In the 12-team era, there's so many schedules and so many individual games that it is borderline impossible to have a high hit rate, especially at the group of five. Like, for example, I think I picked UTSA, and they've had a disaster start to the season because they can't play defense because three of their starting four DBs got hurt in week one. So they can still put up a ton of points, but now they're having issues playing defense. I would say the group of five front runner right now is probably South Florida, if I had to say, just because of the quality of their wins. And then they shouldn't be penalized too harshly for that loss to Miami, with Miami looking like the best team in the country right now. So, yeah, I'm sure somebody did pick Army, but that's a crapshoot, man, picking one out of 75. You might as well go buy a scratch-off ticket at the gas station at that point. So it just kind of is what it is with relation to the group of five. 654 Roar if you want to check in.
Question for you. With this weekend slate, and we don't put out the bat signal very often for Georgia fans, but I want to hear from Georgia fans today. If you have the opportunity at 7:30 Saturday night to only have one screen and you only can pick one game, are you choosing Oregon at Penn State for the whiteout or Alabama at Georgia between the hedges?
Alabama at Georgia between the hedges.
Why?
Oh, I'm really going to get killed here, and you're probably going to kill me too. There's something different about football in the South, and there's something different about SEC football. I'm sorry. It's just, it's the truth, and it's my unfiltered opinion on the situation.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
If I have an opportunity to watch an SEC game versus a Big Ten game, albeit I believe the Big Ten is probably the better and more complete league right now, I'm picking the team that plays in the South, and I'm picking the SEC team. And I'm picking Georgia's stadium. I've been there. I've been on the sidelines. I've done broadcasts there. That place is special, and I grew up in the state of Georgia, so of course I'm watching Georgia.
Man, I'm out here doing sports talk radio with Paul Feinbaum this morning. Goodness gracious.
I knew I was going to get crushed for that, and I'm sure some texters are going to have some issues.
654, people, you're going to let him say that comment and just get away with it? Come on now.
Listen, man, there's something different about the vibe of an Alabama-Georgia game's got some weight. I love Oregon. I love Dan Lanning, Penn State, James Franklin, the whiteout. That's one of the best environments in sports. I mentioned one of my best friends just won a national championship for Penn State volleyball. I really like Happy Valley. Penn State's cool. It's not Georgia football. It isn't Georgia football at the end of the day, and it never will be. Texter gets in and says, you're a darn good dog. I can't beat the accusations at this point, but, like, I promise if y'all saw, like, the text messages in my group chat from the past decade full of Georgia fans, you would have a different opinion, but you can only take me at where you hear me for the 3 hours on air, so I get it. I get why people think I've got a little bit of a love for Georgia. Texter gets in and says, I 100% agree, facts. I had the same thoughts this morning looking at the schedule. Listen, for me, it's not even an SEC thing as far as it's like a region of the country thing. Like, college football is the South sport, and it's the Southeast. And you have the premier blue blood in Alabama over the last two decades of college football. Georgia's ran the show for the last 5 years. You get those two clashing off with new quarterbacks. There's a ton of storylines with Kirby Smart and Kalen DeBoer. Needs a signature win badly. Might be coaching for his job. It's just like Oregon and Penn State are probably going to see each other again in the Big Ten championship if Ohio State doesn't make it. There's more intrigue for me with Bama, Georgia. There just is.
Man, that's just... Man, you're pandering this morning.
Texter gets in and says he's been brainwashed by the media. Young, fragile mind. Love the show. It's that frontal lobe. It hasn't developed 363. That must be what it is. But in all seriousness, I will say playing a game... Like, I think I'm biased towards Georgia's stadium because I've done broadcasting work there. And
that's fair.
And no, I'm man enough to admit it.
No, that's fair. You've been there. You have some context.
Yes.
I... I get that. When you said that college football in the South means more, I'm going to rake you over the coals for that. Also, it's a bit of a rich take to when a team from the North just walked into the South last week and punched us in the mouth.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I can't really say anything right now about regions.
I'm just saying. I just want to be fair.
No, you're right. But
I just want to be fair.
You know what Fran Brown is? And now I'm really going to get killed. That's a darn good dog. Let's get Tom the Buckeye in here. The first segment, 654 Roar. In a trolling mood this morning, John, if you haven't picked up on that. Tom, good to hear from you, brother. How we been?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Braves in a minute, give you an update about that. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, man.
But at least you admitted that the Big Ten is a more complete conference.
And, it is.
Probably is a better conference, but you know which game I'll be watching. I'm trying to figure out which of these two teams that will be playing Ohio State in the championship game.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Tom, how do you feel about Saturday in Washington?
I feel pretty good about it. I think the spread's about 9. We've done pretty well out there over the years, and the fact that it's a 3:30 kickoff, that's a noon game basically for us. They've traveled out west so much. He knows how to get the team ready for going out west. I think they're good. There's a lot of teams, you know, and obviously I'm high on Indiana, so I'm kind of contradicting myself. You know, I think Indiana's also in the hunt. It's a really interesting league. And with Southern Cal, I mean, who, making predictions right now on college football playoff.
Yeah.
I'd be better at predicting that than I would who's going to be in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, no, seriously. There's a lot of really quality teams in the Big Ten, and, you know, that's why I tend to believe it's the best and the most complete league in the country. And, again, when you win back-to-back national championships, I also think you deserve that billing as the top dog, if you will. And this is just a really complete league. Like, Tom, for example, Washington's a really good football team. I think you guys are going to win, and I think that, obviously, the defensive talent's going to be able to overwhelm the Huskies. But Jed Fish has got his guys playing great football right now. Damon Williams Jr. is one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the country. This is a really good test for Ohio State to have to go out to the West Coast, going on the road in Saiyan's first like hostile environment as a true starter, and then you get a nice tune-up game against Minnesota before you have to go back on the road to Illinois. I think this schedule breaks very favorably for Ohio State, and I think you're going to get a lot of answers about your football team in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, so here's my one thing that I've seen with Saiyan that I have concern about. And that is short yardage, got to pick up the first down. Running for him is not an option. So, you know, basically if it's a run play, you know, it's going to be the running back. Now, I think we're also going to see Bo Jackson more. I saw it in the spring game. I mean, he's more of a breakaway back. He's more of a Henderson type. And the other two guys are kind of plotters. And, I mean, they're not bad running backs, but they're more in the Junkins kind of mode where they're going to get 3-4 yards pretty consistently. But Jackson, he's a breakaway dude. I mean, he's earned more reps, and I'm hoping we're going to see that.
Yeah, I'm hoping we're going to see that as well. And listen, I really like this Ohio State team. I like the infrastructure. I think the two best players in the country play on the same team with Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs on the respective sides of the ball. And it should be a really good matchup this upcoming weekend. Hey, Tom, we got to take a quick break, but get your Braves comment in here before we let you go.
Yeah, I got to meet Waldrop for the second time. We went down after the game. You know, so I saw his first win of the year up in Bristol. Got to meet him up there, and it was a great experience. You know, my ex-sister-in-law's kid played with him, so he's really still kind of my nephew. Known the kid growing up. They got to see each other and hang out a little bit after the game. It was awesome.
Man, that's absolutely awesome. And Waldrop's an absolute stud. Tom, we always appreciate the phone call. Best of luck this weekend up in Seattle, and hopefully your Buckeyes can pull it through.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Tom. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the program. A ton of texts to get to at 654 Roar, talking all types of college football and NFL today on the program. Maybe a little Major League Baseball playoffs as well, with the Guardians on a heater and the Tigers collapsing. Keep getting in with us with Faxon and John. Quick break.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
You can feel it in the air. Football is back, and the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1. To play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football? Man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
Attention Roar listeners, are you ready to drop up to 20 pounds or more by the new year? With our friends at PhD Weight Loss, they've cracked the code with their Metabolic Reset System, their science-backed method that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar. They're the only program where they guarantee your success and your results, and I can speak to it because I lost over 50 pounds on the program 2 years ago. There's no starving, there's no endless workouts, and there's none of those risky drugs. Just a smarter system that resets your metabolism, shrinks that dangerous belly fat, and keeps it off forever. And for our listeners right now, they're making the deal even better. They'll waive your consultation fee, you'll get 2 extra weeks of the program for free, they'll even cover the cost of your food during the program, and just for booking, you'll receive their 5 Steps to Reset the Scale book for free. But don't wait, this guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. That's right, the next 25 callers. So call 864-644-1900 right now and mention the code NEWYEAR. That's 864-644-1900. PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-442-6054 today.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years! How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in blown-in insulation. Blown-in insulation provides great improvements to your home's efficiency and comfort while being a great cost-effective option. We also install solar attic fans for temperature and humidity control, reducing your attic temp from 150 to 110 degrees, protecting your home. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Hurry, call Koala Insulation at 864-867-1779 today.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan, featured products, or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hymns has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hymns.com/joy. That's hymns.com/joy.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Kane takes a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Kane gets away from the blitz. Rolls right side. Throws downfield. Got a man wide open. Moore inside the 10. Catches it. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Segment 2, Hour 1 here on a Thursday with Faxon Childress and John Hight on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or the Adams & Co. roofing text line. We'd love for you guys to join the program, and we would love for you guys to tap in with us. I want to take things in a little bit of a different direction here. I'm going to put something out on social media later today as well. This is just going to be a blip on the radar. At FaxonPXP if you want to follow me over on Twitter. But Clemson men's basketball is coming out with a new docuseries that's going to air in 4 days on September 29th. Really suggest you guys go check that out on Clemson Plus. Episode 1 is coming out next Monday. It's going to be a little bit of a recap of the Elite Eight, goodness gracious, season, and then a preview and kind of a following of the team within last year, which was a record-breaking season. Yours truly has a couple features in it. William Quackenbush has got a couple features in it. All your favorite guys from the Clemson media, Terrence Oglesby, Wes Durham, Randolph Childress, and more. All the folks over at Clemson did such a phenomenal job putting this thing together, and really encourage you guys to check it out over on Clemson Plus, airing on Monday. I know we're about to flip the calendar to basketball season. We're about to have Brownell and Poppy back in town, and the people at Clemson Ventures and with the video team worked their butt off on this, guys. So I would really encourage you guys to check that out starting on Monday, and I'll remind you guys on Monday once again as well that's in the mix. So shout out to K-Rich, all the great guys over there at Clemson Ventures for doing a great job with that. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. Bunch of texts to catch up to. Texter gets in and says, I'm with Facts, and it's one of those hard truths that we have to swallow. Yes, the SEC gets glazed too much, but at the end of the day, football is just better. I hate to admit it, but sometimes we have to put the trash talk aside and be real, and that's Dre. And yeah, you know, for me personally, I don't want this to turn into an SEC propaganda program, and I do say some of the propaganda-type stuff tongue-in-cheek, but I really just think it's about the South. Like, even with, like, Clemson fits the SEC mold. Whether people want to admit that or not, when you go to a game at Clemson, I've been to enough SEC venues at this point, there is a different feel with the hospitality, with the hills, with the culture, and all of that, and I think that's very legitimate, but Clemson's an SEC school hiding in the ACC, if we're being completely honest with ourselves. Like, the principles of the institution, the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they prioritize football with crazy, hungry fans that are passionate for success, with the head honcho at the helm of the program that's extremely successful, it is an SEC school masking as an ACC school is what the Clemson Tigers are, and a lot of that's due to Dabo Swinney elevating the whole athletic department, right? So, yeah, I do think there's something to that. I don't think they're the best country the best conference in the country, rather, this year specifically, and haven't been for a couple years, but from a vibes perspective, I don't know if you're beating SEC football or football in the South in general. Texter gets in, Alabama and Ole Miss, I've been thinking they need to swap head coaches. Seems like it would benefit both teams. Personality schemes, more reachable goals since we are on the SEC. Yeah, that's been a thing about, you know, Lane Kiffin to Bama for a while. John, do you think that's ever going to I feel like he's finally a little bit content for once in Oxford, right? You know, his daughter's in school there. He's entrenched in the community. He's exceeded expectations and raised the floor for that program. He's recruiting and portaling at a high level. Like, it feels like if there's ever a time for Lane to stay put, Lane's going to stay put in Oxford, right?
Yes, for the foreseeable future, in my opinion. I think that's a perfect marriage between Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. I also think that Lane Kiffin's shtick would last about 6 seconds in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that Bama fans would take to the Twitter very well when they lose a football game. Ole Miss just loves having attention. As a program who nobody ever paid attention to, the fact that their coach is out on social media all the time, they love that. I think it is the perfect marriage between the two. I think he is very assimilated himself well in that community. I think the... And Ryan McGee's putting out a piece. I think it may have aired last night. I've seen some like teasers for it about like the story arc of Lane Kiffin, right? Where he kind of talks about it all. Right now, he just strikes me as somebody who's very happy and grounded where he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's good for him. For all the, from the Raiders to Tennessee to Southern Cal to like all this different stuff to the Joey Freshwater nonsense. Like, I'm glad to see him settling in as a family man in that community and as the head coach there. I think it's a very good marriage. I think it's fun to talk about Lane Kiffin at Alabama because he was the OC there. I think that would be an absolute disaster, him at Alabama. Because also, what big games has Lane Kiffin won? That's perfect at Ole Miss. They don't win a lot of big games. That's great. Like, if he goes 8-4 on an average in Oxford, they'll build him a statue. He does that in 3 years in Tuscaloosa. He's gone. So I think he's in the perfect spot. I also think Kalen DeBoer is a pretty good coach.
I do too.
And I think you are seeing it's going to take some time for that locker room to adjust to it not being Nick Saban. There are still players on Clemson's defense that are adjusting to life after Brent Venables. Not hard to think that it would take more than a year to wash all the Saban out of the program.
Yeah, and I think that you're in a situation in Tuscaloosa where your head coach undeniably has an intricate track record of winning at every step of his career.
All he has ever done.
All he's ever done is rolled the ball out and won 10 games and gone to national championships and won national championships. And I know there's a certain contingent of people that are like, yeah, but it was Sioux Falls. Okay, the dude went to Washington and went to the national championship game with a quarterback that everyone in college football quit on and a bunch of portal kids that he ID'd and brought to Washington. And he retained the right guys as well to build that dynamic offensive infrastructure up in Seattle. I really like Kalen DeBoer, and I believe in him as a head coach. I guess my issue here is maybe the personality fit isn't exactly what Bama fans are looking for. Like, he's kind of an even-keeled and mellow guy, and I think they want a little bit of oomph on the sidelines.
Well, I think that he's not Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Right? He was never going to be Nick Saban. So personality-wise, is it going to feel different? Yes. But let me just give you the records that he has had as a head coach. 11-2, 14-0, 13-1, 14-0, 15-0. All of those were at Sioux Falls where he went a combined 67-3 overall and won three national titles and played for another one. 2 years as a head coach at Fresno, he was 3-3 in COVID. I don't count anyone's COVID record against him. He was 9-3 at Fresno in 21, coming off of COVID. Goes to Washington after Jimmy Lake ran that thing into the ground. 11-2, 14-1. And a 9-4 season last year at Alabama. He's a darn good football coach. And he may not be Nick Saban, but you are never going to hire another Nick Saban right after Nick Saban. That's not how this works.
Yeah, I agree. The guy after the guy is the most impossible job in sports. And there was nothing that Kalen DeBoer could do last year, barring making the national championship game and winning the SEC, that would have left Bama fans satisfied after the departure of Nick Saban. And I think that's definitely something to acknowledge. But, John, that brings us up to a big-time matchup while we're on the front of Alabama, and we did some Georgia coverage in the first segment of the program. Let's talk about the game. Bama-Georgia, number 17 Bama, going on the road between the hedges to Sanford Stadium to play the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia, the number 5 team in the country right now, 3-0, 1-0 in SEC play. Bama, 2-1, have not played a conference game yet, with their lone loss coming to Florida State in the opener. Ty Simpson seems to have figured some things out in the last couple weeks, and I don't think he played super poorly in week one either. I was really, really skeptical of his ability coming into the season. I tended to believe in the preseason that we might get a look at Austin Mack or Keelan Russell at some point. That hasn't really been the case thus far. Simpson's played quality football. He's been the least of the concerns for Alabama in all seriousness. And I guess my take going into this game
is a little bit conflicted. I'm going to roll with Georgia. I'm just going to give a pick'em spoiler there, and I'm going to take Georgia with the points at home. I think they're the better football team. I think they have the better quarterback. I think they have the better coach. We could run down the list for the reasons to pick Georgia, but I will say this about Alabama. This game's going to tell us a lot about Florida State, in my opinion. This game's going to tell us a lot about Florida State.
Tomorrow night's going to tell us a lot about Florida State.
Tomorrow night's going to tell us a lot about Florida State as well.
This weekend tells us a lot about Florida State.
Yeah, and then next week they've got Miami as well. So, like, all the Florida State fans, and I projected them to be pretty darn good this year, you're going to find out about the identity and the meat and bones of your football team in the next 48 hours, undeniably, because you're going to get to see how Bama fares against another top five team in the country in Georgia, and then you've got your first true road test of the season going up on the road against the Virginia Hoos, who are putting up big-time points right now. John, what's your initial read on this game? I don't have a ton of confidence in Georgia's defense in comparison to what I typically do, but Gunnar Stockton and the guys on offense have been lighting it up. And again, I said this a couple weeks ago, Mike Bobo remains the most underrated coordinator in college football. All the guy does is put his guys in a position to succeed, and when you give him a good offensive line, he is a brilliant play caller. I really am rooted in this belief, and I know I'm in the minority here, but I love what he does when it comes to creating space for his best weapons.
Look at me, Bobo.
Yeah, he's on a heater right now. And I know Georgia fans are trying to get him to become the next head coach at Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech, UCLA, and pick an FCS school. They want him out of town as fast as possible. The guy has been good.
Yes.
The guy has been very good.
I think
he and Gunnar Stockton, I think he's figured out what Gunnar does well, what he doesn't. Ask him, you know, to do those certain things. I kind of think this game has the chance to go over. It's at 53.5 right now. I think there's a chance that this is very pointsy, very un-SEC-like, very un-American football, right, in the South, where it needs to be 13-10 and we're hitting everybody and playing good defense. I think both the defenses here may be at a disadvantage. I think both offenses can cook here in this game. I also took Georgia to cover the spread in the contest. I don't feel great about it. I initially turned in Alabama and then changed it a couple minutes after. But I think Georgia's going to be able to take care of business at home. I do think both passing games are going to thrive. And I think whoever can establish the run better, I think, has a chance to be here. Because, I mean, Nate Frazier's had a nice year so far, but you haven't really seen, like, a dominant Georgia running attack yet that I felt like a vintage one. I think it's trending in that direction. It's getting better, but I don't feel like it's, you know, like what it was with Michelle and Chubb and so many of those other guys over the last few years. I just think right now, I think the motivation for Kirby Smart to get a win over Alabama, to get that one blemish off of his resume, is that team he cannot beat, to get that weight off of this fan base. I think it's going to be absolutely electric. Unless they come out and wear black jerseys. If they wear black jerseys, Bama wins by 20.
You don't like the black jerseys?
Oh, no. The only time they've ever done it, it was for a funeral for Georgia in Sanford Stadium.
Yeah.
The first time they tried to do it when Bama came to town. As Mickey Pyler always said, the quote from Scott Cochran, why are they wearing black? Because they're going to a funeral. Don't do that, Georgia. Don't try to make this bigger than it needs to be. Don't do the jersey stuff. Don't do all that nonsense. Red jersey, silver britches, go take care of business.
Yeah, it's a business trip in Athens on this upcoming Saturday. Mr. Anna Fender gets in and says, what's been the best college football game so far this season? I would say 1A, 1B, Georgia-Tennessee, Texas A&M, Notre Dame. Those are the first two that pop into mind for me. What say you, John?
Oh, boy. So far this season, oddly enough, you take my fandom out of it, I think Georgia Tech Clemson was a very interesting and a very good back and forth football game. Oh boy, off the top of my head, that's maybe Georgia Tennessee.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
With Gunner making that crazy throw with 2 minutes left, they get the two, the missed field goal, the cinema and OT, and then of course in that Texas A&M game in South Bend with Marcel Reed making the crazy play and throwing the touchdown, pretty much his time expired for a 1-point win. Hard to beat those two, and I'm hoping we get something similar this upcoming weekend. Hey, before a quick break, if you're looking to take your lawn to the next level, go with Carolina Top Dressing. They're committed to serving the upstate. They bring golf course-type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, soil conditioning, and more. You can ask them about their latest top dressing Passing Amendment and Carolina Mix. It's become a fan favorite. You can also sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. Quick break here on the program with Faxon and John. More coming up on the other side.
Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, October 3rd and 4th. It's the ultimate Bee Gees tribute, bringing the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. From Jive Talking to Staying Alive, this high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Samantha Porter, environmental educator, ready to encourage you. Pizza boxes, shipping and packaging boxes, appliance boxes are all examples of cardboard that is easy to recycle. Did you know that every school in Anderson County recycles their cardboard? And you can too. Did you know that cardboard generates the most recycling dollars, which allows our convenience centers to remain open and free to our residents? Anderson County Solid Waste is here to serve and help. 260-1001.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
Some sandwiches are forgettable. This one, it's unforgettable. Meet the Ultimate Italian, a flavor-packed masterpiece with bacon, parmesan, salami, capicola, and ham, all toasted to perfection. Every bite, pure magic. When a sandwich is this good, you don't just eat it, you talk about it. Try the Ultimate Italian, now toasted, only at Jimmy John's.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around a baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and text lines are open. And let's get Dre in here on the phone lines. Dre, always a pleasure and always appreciate your phone call, brother. How we living?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing today?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Very blessed. Excited for the weekend in football, man. It's going to be a great weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm just excited to see how my Tigers are going to fare against the bye week this week. Hopefully, we can come out with a win. I mean, I don't know what to expect at this point.
Hey, I heard we're opening up as underdogs to the bye week this week, Dre. We're going to have to pull off an upset.
But I wanted to get in about the Kellen DeBoer topic you were speaking about earlier.
Yeah.
I, for one, I like him for Alabama. I think he's a good fit. I think his only issue is he's facing an issue that any other coach who took that job will face. You're following up Nick Saban. So anything short of Nick Saban's standards right now is not going to sit well with Alabama fans. I think that's why Dabo wouldn't take the job and he decided to stay at Clemson because me as a coach myself, I don't see how a coach doesn't dream about going back to his alma mater and winning and bring home a national championship. I mean, like Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer, you know, he said South Carolina is his. I don't think he would touch the Virginia Tech job right now because I feel like he feels like his work isn't done in South Carolina just yet. But once he feels like he's accomplished enough at South Carolina, he's going to bite at the first chance he gets to go back home to Virginia Tech. I think that's why Dabo didn't take it. He didn't want that to hit. Like, I mean, look at the situation he's in right now. We're 1-3 in the situation we've never been in, and people are calling for his job. So what do you think is going to happen in Alabama when he gets there and doesn't put up Saban-like numbers?
Yeah, I did.
So, you know, I just think that's his biggest fault, man. You're in a no-win situation right here, you know. Hopefully they can just bear with him, give him time. But Alabama is just one of those programs where, like, you need to win today. There's possibly no tomorrow. So, you know, like I say, I mean, I get it. Alabama is a great job. Any coach in the country would jump at the chance to go to Tuscaloosa. But when you're following up a coach like Nick Saban, it just won't work. Same way whenever Dabo leaves, whoever comes in after Dabo, they got tough shoes to fill, even with a 1-3 season on this record right now. I mean, if Dabo was to leave at the end of this season, you know, we start the season next season like we did this season. I mean, they're already going to be calling for his job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just one of those things. You got to look at who you're following up behind at certain programs when you're a certain style, a certain type of coach. Because, like I say, I mean, I hate to see people like coaches like Charlie Strong. Like, Charlie Strong got tainted from getting fired from Texas. I don't think he's had a head coach job since then. I don't know if he's expired to be a head coach since then. But, I mean, ever since he got fired from Texas, just like he just faded into the wind. You don't hear about Charlie Strong no more. He was a damn good coach. So I just, you know, I don't get it, but I'll take your comments out there, brother. You have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate you, Dre. Appreciate the phone call and good stuff there for sure. And yeah, I think it just wraps back to the overarching theme of being the guy after the guy is almost impossible.
Well, real quick, just for Dre here, Charlie Strong has still been very active in football since he was the head coach at the University of Texas when he was let go in 2016. He was actually the head coach at South Florida from 17 to 19, worked with Alabama in 2020, was with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 21 as the associate head coach, inside linebackers coach. Miami, he was the defensive coordinator in 22, co-defensive coordinator, excuse me. Last year was an analyst under Nick Saban, I'm sorry, Kellen DeBoer. No, he was last year of Nick Saban, sorry. And then he has been with Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers. As of late, he is their defensive line coach right now.
Dang, that's crazy. I didn't even realize he had made that many stops since his departure, if that makes sense. So good for him. Good for him. Definitely staying involved and acclimated in the football world. 654 Roar if you want to check in. A couple texts getting in. Alabama wouldn't take Dabo. They like coaches that go to the portal. Yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, to be honest with you, 538. But I do understand the sentiment. And I do think Dabo will be significantly more active in the transfer portal this offseason than ever. Again, I think for him, it's a numbers game, right? Clemson's going to have more departures this year than they've had in the last 5 years, maybe even combined, with the amount of seniors and the amount of starting players on your team that are going to be exiting. So I think there's a scenario in which some of the underclassmen, you know, compete for the job or are good enough to step into those spots and start, right? But I'm looking at the offensive line specifically, and the starters already are terrible. As far as comparatively speaking to the remainder of Power 4, not trying to be critical or harsh for no reason, they're the 62nd graded unit in pass blocking out of 67 Power 4 teams. That's atrocious. Like, you can do the percentile math at home. That's not good enough here at Clemson. It just isn't. And I had a lot of people getting in with a tweet I put out at Facts and PXP over on Twitter the other day about Clemson's pass blocking grades and Clemson's just offensive line play in general. And a lot of people were asking for my commentary on it about, well, do you think this is a Matt Luke problem? We were told Matt Luke is the best offensive line coach in the country. I understand that when you see the offensive line underperforming or when you see a position group underperforming in general, the main takeaway is typically going to be the position coach isn't doing their job. I'll just tell you right now, Clemson's never going to do better than Matt Luke as the offensive line coach. Never. In the history of the program, they will never have a better offensive line coach than Matt Luke. And we got to praise and criticize fairly. If you want to criticize Matt Luke for the performance through four games this year, I think that's fair, and I think he deserves partial blame. But you also have to give credit that is warranted last season for him really transcending a unit that was far below average in 2023, which led to the firing of Thomas Austin. And he made that an above average unit by most metrics in 2024. And it was a good enough unit to go to the ACC championship game and go to the college football playoffs. So, you know, admittedly, I'm still a little bit confused as well as to what's going on up front. We talked to Landon Walker yesterday. Eric McLean's a good friend of the program that we're going to have in after the UNC game. And they seem to be in alignment with missed assignments and fundamentals being one of the big issues for Clemson's offensive line to date. So the fundamentals have got to get cleaned up. But as John said, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? And Matt Luke can put the guys in a position to succeed. He can have the right call as far as the protection goes. He can have the right call as far as the, you know, what he's instilling from a technique standpoint and his guys up front. But at the end of the day, the guys have to go out there and execute that are playing the game. And that's what this comes down to. It's a player's game, man. Brad Brownell will tell you that in the basketball world. I talk to Brad pretty frequently. Everything he always wraps back to is you got to have players. If you don't have the Jimmys and Joes and you don't have the players, you're not going to win a lot of football games. And for whatever reason this year, Clemson has not performed up front like they have the Jimmys and Joes on the offensive line. So I really don't think it's on Matt Luke. But if you want to hyperfixate on the portal for Clemson football, I'd love to see a couple big boys up front and it's a portal offensive lineman, because you know who's really turned things around at that guard spot for Georgia Tech, John? A guy like Keelan Rutledge.
I talked about this yesterday. I was on with Kwok for a segment, and he was trying to do the numbers of what he thought every position group would be taking in the transfer portal for Clemson this upcoming offseason.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody of something when it comes to the offensive line, because I do agree that there needs to be a lot of transfer overhaul across this roster. However, nobody lets good offensive linemen get to the portal anymore.
That's true.
You rarely ever see them, and if you do, that's a bidding war that Clemson won't win. I want to make sure I emphasize that clearly. That is a bidding war that Clemson most likely will not win.
Yeah.
So I do think you need to focus on Matt Luke's six freshmen that he's bringing in, and Big Braden Jacobs and Gavin Blanchard and Easton Ware and those guys, and growing them up. I think that is the best case for this offensive line short and long term. Because I don't believe that you're going to find a left tackle in the portal that is of caliber that Clemson fans would want that you could afford.
I don't necessarily disagree with you there. I don't necessarily disagree with you.
Because we have seen Ohio State, Miami, the biggest of spenders be able to go out and acquire those guys. And even then, it's so few and far between because of how so many programs across the country are getting better at retaining, that if you get a quality offensive lineman on your campus at 18, you're going to pay him an obscene amount of money so he never leaves.
I agree.
I think a lot of the offensive linemen that could be available, I just don't know there's going to be the bevy of starters that maybe Clemson fans would want.
So looking at the offensive line situation after this year, Lee's out of eligibility. He's departed. You mentioned the six freshmen, which is a big-time number to bring into a position group. And actually, let's take Mike and Anderson before the top of the hour before we get too deep in the weeds of the depth chart. 6'5", 4", Roar, if you want to check in. Mike, good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for getting me in. Facts, as I told John, just so you know, not that it may not matter, I've listened to your show every day since you started. Used to call a couple of times a week. and have just been so busy this summer, hadn't had a chance to call in, kind of catching up. So hopefully I can get back in.
Oh, yes, sir.
Calling because I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, man. We always appreciate your phone call, Mike.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Very quickly, and I'm not going to get into what's wrong with the Tigers. That's been talked about to the limit this week. I will make one quick point, and you just mentioned it earlier. You're talking about the offensive line, and then you talked about the Jimmys and Joes. Mickey Plyler has been preaching for years that while, yes, coaching is important, it's very important, it's more about Jimmys and Joes than X's and O's. And I am of the opinion, based on what I've seen thus far, that the Jimmys and Joes either aren't there or they're not playing to their potential. And I think that's, I mean, it might be arguable, but it's a pretty true statement. But my question for you and John, and I've asked Kwok this, and I asked Mickey this morning, and Mickey got some good feedback on it from callers. The transfer portal's been talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, John's opinion, and I'm going to make a prediction that T.J. Moore hits the transfer portal this year as quickly as he can. Kwok pointed out yesterday that despite his alleged talent, he is grading out at 44. He makes 44.4% of the catches of the times he's targeted, and I've noticed maybe body language doesn't mean a hill of beans, but I've noticed him a couple of times on the field looking back at Klubnik like, what are you doing, man? But then if you look at the other side of it, Klubnik has thrown him a few good balls and he's dropped them. So anyway, leading into the transfer portal thing, how many, if Dabo does finally go to the transfer portal route, how many transfer portal players do you think they need, and how many players off of this unit will enter the transfer portal themselves based on how this season has gone thus far? And that's assuming that they don't make a remarkable turnaround. And I'd love to get your and John's take on that. Thanks a lot, Fax.
Appreciate you checking in with us, Mike, and I think that's some good question. It's going to breed some great commentary on the other side of a top of the hour break. So we'll talk Clemson, we'll talk numbers, and we'll talk transfer portal after the top of the hour break. But first, I want to tell you guys about Tigers for Tatas, right? It's fall. It's the annual flagship charity fundraiser here on The Roar. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're asking you to help us make a big difference as always. Tigers for Tatas kickoff show is happening Wednesday, October 1st at Trammell and Mills Law Firm. You can come by 1650A East Greenville Street in Anderson. Buy yourself a wristband, buy yourself a t-shirt, and support a great cause. All proceeds benefit Dabo and Kathleen Sweeney All-In Team Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. The Mickey Plyler Show will be live from 6 to 9 a.m. You can get yourself some coffee and donuts, and then John and I will be live from 9 a.m. to noon. We'd love to meet the listeners, shake your hand, take a picture, etc., interact with you guys face-to-face, and all for a great cause with Dabo's All-In Team. We're talking Clemson football and transfer portal numbers in hour number two right here on The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.